So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first?
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hey, come here. I got something good for you. Come on.
Hey, Kevin, we're going today, baby. Episode 93. It's Halloween season. I think we can call it Halloween season. I mean, we're August. My wife thinks it's weird. I'm crazy, but we're Halloween season, right, baby? Spooky season.
I think so, because plants are starting to die. Lowe's is starting to get the stuff in. And, I mean, it is less than 90 days away. So 3-month warning. We are on the runway. We're about to take off. So I think we can officially say it's spooky season, Dave. I'm about to go queue up the playlist on Spotify with all my special Halloween music, which we've talked about before on the pod. So I think it's about time, man.
It's certainly that time, and good call on the playlist. You know, if anyone wants a very special curated playlist by the typical Nerd Talk boys, hit us up in the DMs. We'll send it to you. We got about 40 Halloween bangers, some obscure ones. There's definitely some obscure ones.
But I will confess that there are some songs that I never knew existed until usually around the Halloween season, where stuff starts coming out. And I hate to say this, and I don't want anyone to judge me, Dave, you especially. I think I told you this already. I grew up a little bit sheltered, so around this time, I didn't know when it came out that this was a thing, but I didn't know Shakira's She-Wolf was even a song until last year. Isn't that a shame? And I mean, that's one of my favorite bangers on the playlist. So yeah, we have some good things coming.
I can't think of that song right now, but hey man, can't go wrong with Shakira.
I mean, no, you can't. I mean, it's a classic, and the music video is even better. So yeah, let's get geared up for spooky season. But you know what, Dave, we might as well just jump right into this. One thing I can say that is definitely scary and makes me wonder what in the world we've been up to is we actually have a damn guest. We have a guest today. Oh, wait, what'd you say?
I was like, fuck off. I thought you're already shitting on my take on Talk to Me.
No. We're going to get in it. But I would like to officially welcome back a celebration boy, if we will. Carrying around that Mando helmet, carrying around that Darksaber through Star Wars Anaheim Celebration, and a friend of Mosh Eisley, the one and only Hunter the Cat Lady, is here with us. That's his handle, everybody.
What's up, man?
What's up, guys? So happy to be here. Very excited.
Big dog in the house. This is the first time you're on the pod too, right?
Yeah, first time. So I'm.
Yeah, I mean, here. Typical on brand for Kevin and I, for like not doing a post celebration wrap up and having you on.
Kevin, but I haven't seen you since Star Wars Celebration, actually, which was so much fun.
I know, it really was. Like that obviously that's where I met Dave in person for the first time, met you for the first time. And I think it was kind of like impromptu that you kind of came to that. Were you planning to come originally, or did all the cards just happen?
It just worked out perfectly.
Here we are a year and a half later, and we're finally talking about Star Wars Celebration together. So this is about right. Yeah.
This is our celebration recap.
Next year, we're all going to Japan, though, of course, right?
I thought about it, but at the same time, I'm like, fuck no, I'm not doing that.
I mean, yeah, it's just a hard no. I mean, I want to go to Japan so bad.
But I want to go to Japan to like experience the culture, not be a nerd and watch.
Oh no, I'm mostly kidding. Like if I'm going to Japan, I'm not going to spend 3 days at Star Wars Celebration. Right. I'm doing everything else.
Yeah,
but it'd be pretty cool.
It's got to be, and that's 25, right?
Yeah, 2025. We're still a year and a half away. Yeah. If anybody out there wants to sponsor the toy aisle, I'm sorry, not even us, the typical Nerd Talk for being there at Star Wars Celebration 25 Tokyo, let us know. We were happy to go if you really feel like we need to be there. So if you guys want to sponsor us, let us know. And obviously we need a plus one for Hunter, because we're going to go all three of us.
And then we would all have like matching kimonos and just like really get in, soak it all up. You know what I mean? Like eating sushi off of, you know, hot bods, the whole nine. I mean, I want it all. Let's go.
The only thing we cannot do is the Rock's tequila. No Terramana tequila. We will switch to sake. And so if the Rock happens to buy a sake steak, we got to make sure to not have that either.
Oh man.
Old Hunter, Black you do Adam. Know like when I got super angry about the Rocks Tequila in Disney, right? Did we tell you about that?
No, I don't think you did, because you guys went in that night and I did my own thing.
Yeah, so we all met at the bar, I thought, right? Before we went in?
Oh, yeah, we did. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, at that like bowling pins place. And we're not going to get off topic here too much because we got a lot to cover. But that's when I officially hated The Rock more than I already do, because like I'm like, all right, shots, everybody. And they're like, what do you want? I was like, Terramana, might as well. When I get the bill for that thing, it was $17 per shot. And I was like, what the hell? And I'm like, man, fuck The Rock. Fuck The Rock. This is ridiculous. And Dave's like, hey man, you know you're in Disney, right? There's like a amusement park tax, and this is California, and this is top shelf tequila. I mean, what did you think this was going to be? I was like, fuck this, and nope, this is all his fault. So ever since then,
never coming back to California.
Yeah, I'm never coming back to California. I'm boycotting Black Adam all because of the tequila.
Yeah, I mean it's the biggest feud in celebrity news, Kevin and The Rock. I mean,
I think I'm going to fight The Rock at WrestleMania next year over the rights to Terramana.
Look out, Nate Diaz and Jake Paul. I mean, let's get Jake and The Rock going, and The Rock.
So I know you guys are into like mixed martial arts and things like that. Do you think the Jake Paul, Logan Paul, all these boxing matches, do you think they're real or are they scripted? Are these people just getting the bag? Because I have a hard time thinking.
They're just getting the bag.
Do you think they're taking falls, though? Do you think Nate Diaz actually got beat by Jake Paul?
I don't think so, like Nate is taking a fall, but Jake is not fighting an actual boxer. Like,
and when he did, he got beat by Love Island pretty boy Tommy Fury. So when he fought a real boxer, he got smashed.
Yeah, and he hasn't fought a real boxer since. You know, that's just he's just you know, building up that that record. He will, you know what I mean? But he's just, you know, stacking those W's.
I want to start fighting tomato cans then for like millions of dollars. Let me do this.
Old Butterball, that like big fat dude. He's even calling out Jake. I'm like, all right, come on, buddy.
Tyson of all people today said that Jake is going to be the light that brings boxing back. I'm like, how much did you get paid, Tyson? Come on now.
Listen, I'm going to be real. I think it's all bullshit.
I do too. I think it's scripted, think just
paid,
like WWE.
I think Diaz was paid to lose. You know,
that's what I'm kind of thinking.
It's all bullshit. Yeah, I don't think it's real.
The only like big prize fight like that I want to see is the fucking two aliens going at it, Elon Musk and Zuckerberg.
And Zuckerberg.
I want to see that fight. I haven't bought a UFC fight or like any kind of pay-per-view fight in probably 15 years. I'm buying that fight 100%.
I thought they're going to stream it on X or whatever
on X now, right? That's what Elon want to do, but you know, you saw that that clapback from Zuck.
Oh boy.
Well, I tell you what, Dave, if that fight goes down, I think we should do a watch party to Nerd Talk.
Oh, love it. Yeah, we'll go to the Alamo or Majestic, put it on the theater, have a little QA, do a live podcast. Love it.
Let's do it. Mark that down. So
Hunter, never thought I'd say this, but Team Zuck all the way.
Oh my God. Yeah.
What?
Team Zuck all the way. I want to see Elon Musk get the shit beat out of him.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
He
would be so
clowns,
slippery. Like he would be like probably, I could see Elon Musk being heart attack, you know, but he would, are they talking about MMA or were they talking about just boxing?
Fight. It's a straight cage fight.
Fuck. Yes.
And all I can think is just like Elon being like Brock, you know, shooting out, and he's too big. And if he gets like a ground position on Zuck, it's over, you know, at that point.
Yeah.
No, but you know, Mark trains in jiu-jitsu now, right?
I understand that. But if you have like 150 pounds on you, you're not getting out. That's why Brock was so dominant. He would just lay on people.
And just gas out Zuck then.
And as you'd heard, Zuck is sitting there on the McDonald's diet. Did you hear about that? Yeah, he's on a 4,000 calorie surplus diet or whatever, and he's crushing like Mickey D's, and he's saying it tastes so good.
Good for him, man.
I mean, I wish I could live this life. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone, you know, that say they wouldn't would be lying to themselves a little bit. I just want that Zuck money. Let's go. Give me that Zuck money. Well, shit, let's get back on track. Let's talk about
rabbit hole here. Sorry about that.
We got some very spooky content, we're going to be talking about full review, full spoiler review of Talk to Me. We also have, you know, the usual stuff that you guys get out of us. Let's kick into that. Let's get the pickups out of the way. I don't have a whole lot. I'll just get my spiel out of the way, and then whatever you guys got, we can talk. But dude, Spirit is now open, baby. I mean, I don't think all Spirit of them are Halloween? Open. Spirit Halloween, yeah. So
then it is spooky season. Then the day those doors open, it is spooky season. Yes,
it is. Yeah, and we went on Saturday, and you know, of course, I had to step on every animatronic and scare the living shit out of my kids. It's like it's a tradition. It's a family tradition, and yeah, there's some really cool merch that Spirit has this year. They even had some, they got on the whole VHS hype beast kind of thing right now, and they had Killer Clowns, Halloween 2. I noticed a lot of licensing on Halloween 2 items and not Halloween, you know, 78 items, and I think that license is probably a little more expensive. So everyone just like, oh, well, we'll just get a Halloween 2 license. But yeah, they had like clamshells of the VHS tapes. And I was like, oh, fucking A, like it's perfect. And but they're just like filled with like tchotchkes and, you know, some patches and some stickers. But
be honest, how many did you buy?
I didn't buy any. I had Kevin in the back of my head going, well, you know, Dave, you know, what are you going to do with it? You know, it's not even the tape. You know, you have the tape, you got the Blu-ray, you got the DVD. What are you doing, Dave? So I put it away, but I'm like, I saw someone post that they put a VHS tape in it, and it's perfect. Like it's a legit clamshell. So I'm like, I might have to just go and pick up that Killer Clowns, because I got a copy of Killer Clowns, but I don't have a case. So might have to do that.
The universe is aligned for you on this.
But yeah, man, there's some really cool stuff. I mean, there is a fucking popcorn bazooka gun that almost came home with me from Killer Clowns. Yeah, we picked up just some small stuff, some Beetlejuice stuff that they always have a ton of Beetlejuice stuff, and started piecing together some stuff for the costumes that we're going to be doing this year. But yeah, pretty light on kind of pickups. Been doing a lot of diorama building, and we'll get into that later on. But yeah, pretty light on the pickups. How about you guys?
Yeah, I actually got two things recently. I'm wearing it right now, just for this. My Terrifier 2 t-shirts picked up from Terror Threads. Love it. Love this thing. Just brutal.
Terror Threads.
And then I got a House of 1,000 Corpses t-shirt as well. Love that movie. Gotcha. So
you love that movie.
I don't know why. I just do. It's just a weird movie, but the music, everything about it is so good.
It came out at such a cool time too. Like, you know, you probably were, you know, in high school when that came out too, or
pretty young.
Yeah. That's, I remember seeing that just, you know, with a bunch of people, you know, when they're in the tunnels with Dr. Satan, I was like, yo, like this is fucking, I've never seen anything like this in a theater before, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, Kevin, I think I appreciate it more now too.
For sure. Zombies, other stuff, maybe not so much, but yeah, that's probably my favorite Rob Zombie movie. Are you a Rob Zombie stan, Kevin?
I'm not. I really tried to do the, obviously his Halloween remakes or whatever you want to call that. But when I kind of checked out when they kind of did his version of Gandalf the White in Halloween 2 with the horse. And I was like, what is happening here? That was a little strange to me. But House of 1,000 Corpses, as well as The Devil's Rejects, those are Amy's two absolutely not movies. So those are the ones that she says, I will not watch those ever again. So
too like too real, like it scared the shit out of her. Yeah.
And I mean, she's not, I've told you this before. I was like, whenever you recommend a movie, I'm like, okay, is this an Amy approved movie or not? Yeah. You know, because it can't be like gratuitous gore and things like that. So that and The Devil's Rejects, I'm like, those aren't gonna happen.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's definitely it's not as bad as the sadness where that dude like,
oh, I've heard about that.
Fucks that guy, that girl's like eye socket. Like, yeah, probably not like a.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate you romantic, being straight on that one. So
yeah. Well, nice, man. How about you, Kevin? You pick up anything? Well,
Dave, this is for all the crap and not having my back on a lot of these cons and, you know, different things that we've gone to and being a bad example. Shit. I finally am here to say, Dave, you redeemed yourself. You have finally redeemed yourself because last podcast we were talking about a speculation figure, essentially, because you a couple weeks ago and you put me on the speed dial, say, should I get this figure? Yes or no. And we were talking about these Breaking Bad figures. You had happened to get the Mars Toys Mike. Mr. Mike, I think it is. Mr. Yeah, Mike. Which looks incredible, by the way. And so one of the things that I had said is that, hey, don't get those present toys, Poison Makers. Don't get the present toys, Mike, that they have. They're just not good. But I said, you know what's looking kind of good? Because the Mars one did get pushed back was their Gus Fring. And you said, you know what, Kev? Why don't you just go ahead and pull the trigger on that? And at worst, it's a stand-in for you. And when the Mars Toys one does come out, you got two bodies now, so you can display both head sculpts, the normal one and the blown up head sculpt. I'm like, yeah, I'll think about it. Took about 2.5 days of thinking through that, listening back to the podcast the next day. And I'm like, you know what? I'm doing it. And I pulled the trigger. The present toys, Gustavo Fring, came in. And damn, Dave, I sent you the pictures. I put some on Instagram, and that's a damn good Gus Fring, and they obviously updated the head sculpt considerably. Even the I have it right here. Even the bomb head sculpt or whatever is really, really good. Now, I don't know how the Mars one's going to officially turn out, but this is a perfect stand-in, especially because they're not going to be releasing it until late next year.
Getting delayed, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm like, might as well fill it with Gus, but the tailoring is great. The new sculpt is great. And he just looks awesome next to, you know, them in the hazmat suits. I'm like, this is cool. Yeah. The only thing I would say is that I wish the hand that gripped the box cutter was a little bit like narrower because the box cover doesn't fit in it very well. So that's my
you can't kind of manipulate the fingers, you know, at all.
I mean, I could try to like melt it or mold it, something like that, but I don't care enough for that. Like, I have him.
That's too
like
scary for you.
Yeah. He's just standing in like the classic Gus pose, like the power pose type thing. So, but yeah, man, the shout out to you for telling me to go through with the present toys, Gus Fring. He's on the shelf. If you guys check out my Insta, you'll see that. Great stand in. So Dave, great call.
Nice, man. And you know what? This is where our beautiful partnership, you know, comes full circle, because you're like, hey, you know, yo, like, I don't know if, you know, Mars or Present Toys does some like shady shit where they like, you know, got a hold of the Mars.
Yeah, they don't have an official license, anything like that. So there's some questionable stuff.
Because the promo pictures for Gus for that figure are trash.
Yeah, he's got like a pinhead.
Yeah, it's super trash. And when you posted yours, it's like, damn, yeah, okay, confirmed, good. So I went and I bought one.
You did? So awesome.
So yeah, it's there's a local guy that I met at shout out Polar Bear Collectibles toy show, but I met him at the toy show, and I hit him up and I was like, hey, he's the same gentleman that I bought the Mr. Mike from. So he's doing me solid, and I'm supposed to begin that in a couple weeks. So
awesome. Yeah, man. There you go. So well, congratulations to us. Yeah, let's go.
All right. Well, let's we started the whole rapid fire thing, and you know, Hunter, we're gonna get you in the mix. So Kevin, you have some questions ready for both of us, right? Hunter and myself, right?
Yeah. So last time you did 10 rapid fire questions for me, kind of crossfire is kind of what we went into.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I gotta work on that.
Yeah, make sure to get that that audio drop in there. Yeah, drop it right
sure.
Here
the commercial.
Yeah, crossfire. Anyway, so I'm like, you know what, I want to do that for you, Dave. And so then I was like, wait, Hunter's coming on too. And I was like, where can I go for great questions to answer for both these people? So you said you had 5 for Hunter, correct?
Yeah, how about I start? I get it primed up for Hunter.
Okay.
I'll give him my 5, and then we'll move on to yours.
And then I'll do 7 for both y'all. How about that?
Cool. All right. So Hunter, this is pretty simple.
All right.
Two. It's one or the other. And so it'll be like football, hockey. Okay. And you pick the one that you're most, into, one's got to go kind of situation. All right.
Let's do it.
Are you ready, Mr. Cat Lady?
Ready. So ready.
Okay.
Hashtag Cat Lady, hashtag Plant Daddy.
Okay. Number one, beer or liquor? Go.
Beer.
Really? I didn't see that coming.
I love beer. I've been
already over one.
Fuck, yeah, right? I've been drinking a lot of tequila recently. I've kind of been taking a break from beer, but beer has just always been my love, you know?
Yeah. Well, and Kevin,
yours is good craft beer. Love it.
Yours is liquor, right, Kevin?
Right. Yeah, I just can't do like the beer thing. Well, here's question 1A to follow up on that. Beer or cider then?
Oh, cider's awful. That's just apple juice.
What?
Well, cider is the worst. It's just apple hipster, juice. Hipster juice.
But I would rather have something sweet as opposed to something like hoppy, I guess. Yeah, I don't like the hoppiness.
Guys, just more hoppy, crystal, the better. Just do crystal meth like a normal adult. Jesus.
That's true. That could bring us a lot more fun.
All right. Number two, Ghostface or Leatherface? The battle of faces.
Ghostface.
Hell yeah.
I just love Scream, love Ghostface. Easy one for me. I'm thinking about getting a Ghostface tattoo recently.
Dude, me too. Have you seen those pictures where it's like, you know, all the weapons of like the, you know, famous slashers, and then they'll have like their portrait kind of like on their weapon. So it's like Ghostface's like knife, but and then you can see like Ghostface's like silhouette on the blade. I want to get that so bad, man. Just like right over my forehead, you know?
Do you want like a set of them or do you want just the Ghostface one?
Dude, I don't need a set. I mean, I'm not that big of a Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I was gonna say, like, is it just a giant chainsaw with his face on it?
Yeah, I'm good there. What about you, Kev? Are you Team Ghostface on this one?
I am. Yeah, I feel like there's just been too many duds, honestly, and terrible remakes of Texas Chainsaw. So
yeah,
I'm out on that.
All right, number three, Hunter. This is I'm really curious what you're gonna pick here.
Oh boy,
Rebels or Clone Wars?
Rebels, easy. Love Rebels.
Yep.
Clone Wars is great. I mean, the last couple of seasons of Clone Wars are incredible. Everything with Darth Maul, with Ahsoka, incredible. But just Rebels does it for me. Just the new characters, the story. I mean, the ending.
That's what I was gonna say. You think that story is deeper than just like the final couple seasons of Clone Wars?
It doesn't have to be deeper. It doesn't have to be deeper. I just connect with it better. I like the characters better. I mean, Chopper, come on, amazing.
Right, war criminal, he's a G.
Yeah, war criminal, yeah.
Yeah, I think his kill count is probably more than Anakin's, honestly. It's pretty wild.
It's a little pesky, a little bugger. Kevin, you're Clone Wars, like, I'm guessing?
I am, and I understand they're both Filoni babies, but when it comes to like storytelling, and I actually text this to my boys that I chat with back from high school, back in the day, we still chat every day. And I said, hey, I know I'm skeptical about Ahsoka coming up, but if anyone's going to do it right, Filoni making this gives me some hope. And it was kind of that Maul Ahsoka fight scene or whatever, but set to Duel of Fates, Battle of the Heroes. It's a really cool like edit video. And I'm like, this is really powerful and really well done. And just that dialogue that he gives about, you know, the Padawan needs one last lesson, and she's like, what do you want with Anakin? He's like, he's the key to all of this. I think that whole dialogue is crazy. And just think, Maul was telling the truth, and if they would have listened to Darth Maul, who knows what would have happened.
It's right all along, you know.
Yeah, and I'm gonna say Ahsoka probably gonna be better than any season of Mando.
Well, I don't know about season two, though. Season two was pretty fire, but
good.
If,
yeah, but I mean, if it's consistently, Ahsoka, you know?
Yeah, but if it's consistently good, then I'm willing to see it. But there's a lot of stakes involved.
Yeah, I have very high hopes. So. A little nervous about it, but
so am I.
Very high hopes. You know, Filoni's going to do us well.
Yeah. Old Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh Steel. Okay. Number four, Sega or Nintendo?
Good one.
Oh, that's tough. I think I gotta go with Nintendo.
Okay.
But I mean I had a
Sega. Did you both systems? You know, kind of grew up with both systems. Were you one of those, like, you know, fortunate kids that had both of them, or were you
had like PlayStation consoles? I did have a Sega Game Gear, you know, that massive giant battery on it. Yeah. Like the thing would last like 30 minutes and then die.
Sure.
Had that. But I don't know. I mean, just like Mario and Nintendo's always had a place in my heart, but Sega legendary. But I mean, I've got a Switch right now, and I recently bought an old Game Boy Color. So I think I got to go with Nintendo.
Have you added more games on that? Are you still just rocking the yellow Pokemon?
Or? I got Pokemon Gold. So maybe about halfway through.
I had that purple one and the yellow, as well as Pokemon Yellow as well. So that's the exact same system and setup I had right there.
Yep, I've got I think it's called the Galactic Purple.
Well, to be fair, mine was the see-through purple.
Oh, yeah. See, that one's sick. That's the nice one.
Like where you can see all the kind of components in it. Yeah.
Your typical 90s thing. The see-through plastic was huge back then, bro.
Yeah.
Same with the N64 had the see-through one.
Dude. I fucking saw something so insane on OfferUp. I have laser disc players saved on my pop up or like when an
your eBay notifications.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. And Pioneer, they made premium laser discs. They were kind of they made really good laser disc players. This laser disc player, this guy's asking $500 for it. I was like, holy shit. Like, what the fuck? What is this guy smoking? Bro, it had a Sega pack that goes with the Laserdisc player. So it would play Sega Genesis games on a Pioneer Laserdisc player. I was so blown away by it. So side rant there. Okay. Kevin, what do we got? You're Nintendo, right?
Nintendo with the longevity, just because we wouldn't be playing, you know, Switch and stuff now if it wasn't as successful. But going back to when you were talking about the Sega Game Gear, that was I never had one, but I wanted the Game Gear so bad because you could play that fucker at night because it had the light up screen.
Yeah, the screen was really nice, full color screen
and all that. And that was crazy to be able to play it under your bed or something like that without, you know, having to turn the lights off. And I was like, okay, well, I can't play my Game Boy at night, but I could play a Game Gear. And so I really wish I could have had that.
Yeah. Yeah, I never had just a regular Game Boy with the fucking little light and the magnifying glass or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I had the OG Game Boy, the big fat gray one. I had the Game Boy Color.
Same, bro.
I had the Game Boy, the camera, the printer. I had all of it.
Yeah, dude.
Was it Game Genie? Was that Sega or was that Nintendo?
That's
Game Sega. Genie was, they did both.
It's where you could
systems,
do, where you could
think,
do hacks, right? It's the thing that you could do, like hacks.
Yeah,
on
there's
the games,
a genie.
Right?
There's also Game Shark, I think, was one.
Game
of them.
Shark, I remember that too. Because that's how I originally got the Mew Pokemon, because you couldn't like get him otherwise. And I traded somebody with a Game Genie or something so I could get the 151 Pokemon.
I just remember that the Game Genie logo was like fire. Like it that was
like a burning super, man.
Yeah, literally fire. All right, let's bring it on home. Something controversial here in the typical nerd talk podcast house. A24 Blumhouse.
A24. I mean, Blumhouse
suck on,
has got some
suck
great
on
stuff,
that, Kevin.
I mean, just A24 has hit after hit after hit right now. Okay. I mean, everything they release is just
okay. Wait till we get there in just a few minutes.
I think a better question would have been A24 or Neon.
Neon. Does it Alamo owns Neon, right? Or Neon owns Alamo. I thought I heard that the other day that they own a movie house. But which good movies does Neon make? I'm not too familiar with their roster.
Oh,
but
man. I can't think of it right now, but I know there's so many.
I won't kiss A24's ass too much. I don't want Kevin just shut his laptop and walk away, but you know, between not just horror, like, dude, Uncut Gems. I mean, they do a lot of unique, films. I mean, if you're going in an A24 movie, I feel like you're going to see something a little different and unique. And for that, they get my vote. Are you still Blumhouse, or did you kind of come to your senses on that, Kevin? I know you said Amy was, she even said A24, right? Or was she team Blumhouse?
Yes, we went through these questions as well with Amy, and she went A24. Although after watching a certain movie, we may be coming back on that.
Okay.
So, but she loves Hereditary. I love Hereditary. Yeah, I think that's one of the best.
I mean, it's a perfect movie.
Yeah, and I'm just going through the Neon catalog here. I think
Parasite, yeah, we've got Old Boy. They're releasing that.
Parasite, yeah.
Parasite was probably their big one.
Did they do Host too? The like sea creature movie that the same director of Parasite did. I'm guessing he probably did that too. But Old Boy, was that on Neon?
Yeah, Old Boy.
Nicolas
Cage. Pig is an incredible movie.
Pig is
that
crazy.
That's Neon, right? I don't think that's A24.
I loved Pig.
Pig was such a surprise.
That was, yeah, let's see. Pig movie.
Pig. There's a French movie called Titan, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Awesome, I haven't heard that. I think a girl fucks a car in that.
Exactly. It's a weird movie, but super cool.
And by the way, that's AI film for Pig.
Okay, I'm looking at a Neon list right now. Okay. Pig's on here.
I think when Pig came out, I kind of immediately...
distributed by Neon. Okay.
Okay, yes. There you go. So there you go. Yeah. I think when Pig came out, I kind of just blew it off because I was like, oh, this is another like Nicolas Cage just, you know, picking up any, you know, job that comes his way. Yeah. But wow. Yeah. I just watched it a month or two ago and I really liked the whole like immersion in the whole like, the mushroom, you know,
truffles.
Cooking scene.
Truffles.
Yes. Thank you. Truffles. Yeah. Okay, well, you got some questions for us then, Kev, right? What do you?
I
got?
Do. So meters? These are gonna we're just gonna do five just for time's sake. But I wanted to do some spooky questions for the two of you to learn a little bit more about both of you for some of our for our listeners out there that may not know you. So because it's spooky season, we're going to dive back into your childhood. So Hunter, I will start with Okay, I will start with you. What was the first horror movie you remember watching?
Oh, yeah. This is easy. I don't know why she let me do this, but my mom let me watch the original Exorcist when I was a child.
Great parenting.
Yeah, right? I don't know what she was thinking. Destroyed me as a kid. I was always afraid. And I still think it's one of the
That's a rough one.
It's a rough watch at like 15 even.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a rough watch right now.
Like, oh, RIP, the director just died.
Yeah, it was yesterday, the day before, I think.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Yeah, that's
That's so spooky.
Very. Geez. Do I answer these now?
Goes right back to you, Dave. Your first memory of a horror movie you watched?
Gremlins,
nice.
Gremlins, and I mean it scared me. I mean, like, there was like, you know, hey, Dad, will you check under my bed? You know, kind of situation. But the movie that really, like, the first movie that, like, you know, fucked me up was the original the TV special. And
the Tim
Curry. Bro, like, I was deathly afraid of drains, not the street drains, like that. Didn't
like
bug
your
me.
Bathroom drain?
My bathroom
like
drains.
Shower drains. Yeah.
I was just like, dude, no, I can't go anywhere with like water and a drain. Like I'm gonna end up floating down there. Like I'm done. Like so. Yeah, I was pretty stinky for a while because I did not shower. You know, and I was like 18. So
nice.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. So the TV special, which by the way, oh my God, does not hold up. I mean,
yeah. I rented it of all stupid things, with a date back in the 8 years ago, and that was like the longest like movie to like watch with some like
it's like usually, 3.5 hours, right?
Yeah, it's like usually like you watch some, you know, Netflix and chill type of thing, but she was like invested in it. And there was like,
oh boy.
Yeah. And so I was like, damn, I kept like looking at my watch and like, damn, it just,
your Uber's here. Worth.
Yeah. Whew.
All right. What if,
so next? Anyway, all so right. You may have mentioned it a little bit, but let's make it a little more, current, Hunter. What is the last horror movie you saw that actually scared you? You're allowed to confess now. We're not going to hold anything against you. But what is the last one that actually scared you? And that'll be the same question for Dave. So start thinking.
So just a couple of nights ago, I rewatched It Comes at Night, which is another A24 movie.
Yeah.
Honestly, underrated. That movie kind of freaks good. Me out. I think it's a great movie. Just unsettling, you know, like these long, when the son is having those nightmares, just those long hallway shots of him creeping through the hallway. And then it's, you know, his grandpa in the bedroom, you know, just liquid coming out of blood or whatever that,
and he's not supposed to be around him. Yeah
terrifying, great
dude
movie.
that movie, that scared the shit out of me too, with just like the reality of it. Like I was like, dude,
yeah,
if something went down, this is kind of how I could see it happening. And and that, yes, same boat. But
They made one mistake of letting these people in their house. It seemed like everything was fine, and that was it. That just ended it. They were so strict on their rules. Like, this is the way we're going to live. This is what we do. We're going to eat twice a day at this time. And then they invite someone else in. This kid ends up having a weird sleepwalking thing, and that's it. Game over.
Fuck yeah. That A24. There we go. Definitely not a Bloom. Definitely something Blumhouse wouldn't put out. That's for sure. All right, let's see here. Last movie that scared the the creepers out of me. That's a tough one, man.
Dave is unfazed. Nothing scares him.
I mean, I'm pretty desensitized at this point, but
Skinamarink, wasn't it?
It definitely was not Skinamarink. I don't know, man. What was the movie? Barbarian, dude. Barbarian was
okay. That's a good one.
That had some pretty, you know, the jump scare kind of with the titty milk lady, you know.
Yeah, that was my favorite movie theater experience in years, because you and I got to see that early. We went to that early screening.
Oh, you saw Barbarian in theaters.
Yeah, and that's when there was no information.
Shout out Terror Trader.
There was no information on the movie. Just that they had that quick look. Like, we thought it was just about an Airbnb, a guy probably killed or something like that. No, wow, that movie wrecked me. Love Barbarian.
Yeah, and dude,
so unexpected.
Our boy, Jesus Christ, John Long. What the hell is his name?
Yeah, John Long. Hi, Justin Long. You're right. Yeah.
Justin Long.
Yeah. Dude, like, I mean, he's such a like a horror like darling at this point. You know what I mean? Like, he never makes it out of a horror movie, but like he's definitely like a beloved I think actor in the genre at this point.
Shout out to Tusk.
Yeah, dude. Oh my God, love Tusk.
You keep telling me I need to watch that. I need to get to
dude,
that.
Dude, it's. I mean,
just get it over with. Just watch it. Get it over with.
the third act gets a little squirrely with Johnny Depp, and you know, he injects, you know, some tomfoolery comedy there. But like, it had like the root, like, you know, theme of this fucking dude is like, you know, human centipede style, like taking another human apart and making him a walrus, essentially. I mean, like, it's fucking terrifying, man.
I got you.
All right, but yeah, sorry, derailed a little bit there.
No, that's good. So that's kind of similar to this next question, but what, Hunter, starting with you, what is your favorite on-screen kill?
Oh man, that's a good question. You know, just because it's fresh in my mind, I don't know if it's my favorite, but you know, in Barbarian, when they're going through the tunnel, like in the beginning of the movie, and the milk mommy comes out of nowhere, grabs his head and just smashes it against the wall. That scared the shit out of me. I think that's a great kill. Just
that's a good one.
So, because that was your first.
That's when the movie literally changed, kind of.
Yeah, that's when everything changed. And that's unforgettable.
Yeah, that was the fucking like this. The theater is just like silent. Like,
oh,
you know,
this is what
gasping.
We're doing now.
Yeah, like
this is what we're doing.
Yeah. Oh man, I mean, when I, you know, I think about this often, and I'm not the biggest Friday the 13th fan. You know, I love Jason as a slasher, but like there's too many, you know, kind of, I'm not watching that whole franchise, and we will get into the, you know, kind of franchises in a second here, but dude, in Friday the 13th part 3, where I forget his name, but he just gets done having sex, and he's like, you can do that, you know, he walk on his hands, and he's like, all right, I'm gonna go get a beer, and starts like walking on his hands, and he's going down the hallway, and then Jason's there, and he just fucking machetes him down the dick, like splits him down. I mean, that whole movie has some fantastic kills. And then I don't know how you guys feel about the remake, but I think it's the opening scene. It's a camping, you know, kind of murder. And he like throws this person in the sleeping bag, like over a campfire. And the camera is like in the sleeping bag with the person. So you have that shot of like this person, like
that's terrifying. Burning alive
in a fucking sleeping bag. I mean, it's fucking gnarly, man. So yeah, probably definitely something from there for sure. Fucking Jason Takes Manhattan, where he punches that dude's head off and it goes in the fucking trash can.
Well, let's end on a nicer type of question, and we'll end with these. Who is your favorite Scream Queen?
Oh man, that's a good question.
There's been a lot of iconic ones, but you can only have one queen to wear the crown.
I can jump in, Hunter, if you want to keep thinking
of
one.
Yeah, let me think about it.
I got to go with Linnea Quigley. She is trash in Return of the Living Dead. She did a signing at Terror Trader, lovely lady, and yeah, she had no problem. She was like the go-to girl in the 80s for like, if you needed a blonde to do like a tit scene, like she was like at the top of everyone's like Rolodex.
She's got you right.
She did the horror workout fucking movie. I mean, she's great. Super iconic. Yeah. So old trash. Trash is taking her clothes off again. What do you got, Hunter?
Would Jamie Lee Curtis count? I mean, she'd count, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, she is considered one of the most original.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know it's not an original answer for me, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, she's the OG.
Yeah, OG.
She's the GOAT.
Or would you say her mom is the OG, though?
Oh, from Psycho?
Yeah.
She would be the OG if Michael Jordan is... the GOAT for basketball, the OG, and this is terrible comparison. Never mind. Scratch this. Abort. Yeah.
No worries. Rip that.
She's not going to be on too much. She'd be on like purists, you know, top five list. But she's
purist. That's a good way to say it.
Purist. Yeah, for sure. For sure. You know, all the legit critics for sure.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that in such a long time.
And as I said, I was a big fan of Bates Motel. Just love that whole franchise. Yep. So, well, there you go. There are your rapid fire questions. Thank you, Hunter, for playing along with us. And hopefully you liked these spooky questions, Dave.
It's so much fun. It's spooky season.
It is. And we got more spooky things coming down the pipe.
Well, on that note, spooky season definitely arrived. We are going to get into our full review on Talk to Me. And this is full spoiler. So if you have not seen it, you know, go ahead and stop here. If you, you know, haven't seen it, but want to hear what we say anyways, you know, keep listening because this is going to be fun. So quick synopsis. When a group of friends discover how to conjure spirits using an embalmed hand, they become hooked on the new thrill. until one of them goes too far and unleashes terrifying supernatural forces. This is first time directors, a brother duo. They're the Raka Raka. Is that the YouTube, yep, right?
And yeah, they had an old YouTube channel called Raka Raka from Australia, I believe. Yep. I used to watch their videos like 10, 15 years ago. I don't remember when it was, but great videos. And I'm so happy they got to make a movie now.
Yeah. And I mean, this is kind of why, I'm such an A24 stan. First time directors like that, like, you know, it's not like they get a lot of opportunities and shots. So, yeah, I mean, we can kind of just get in a first, thoughts and whatnot. Hunter, what was your thoughts? We saw it together. Did we see it opening weekend?
We saw it opening night.
Then took your review, Dave, and saw it 3 days later.
You saw it 3 days later. That's right. Correct. Okay.
Because you said, I need to go see this movie.
Yeah. All right. So I'm guessing I have to Venmo you and Amy. What was date night? $20? I'll Venmo you $20. Okay.
Don't worry. We matineed, so it's okay.
All right. There we go. $18.99. All right. All right. So Hunter, we've talked a little bit about it, but just overall, what do you think of the film, man?
Yeah. I'm gonna get this out of the way. Kevin, I'm sure you agree with me. Talk to me, horror movie of the year so far.
Fuck off.
I loved it. I thought it was so well made. The pacing was great. Characters great. I found it to be scary. There were some very disturbing images that I did not like. Like, when they're in, like, the kid's in hell, basically, there's all those bodies just surrounding him, like eating him or something. Ooh, that stuck with me for the rest of the night. And one thing that I loved too, kind of separate from the movie, but I love that it was 90 minutes. Like a nice,
yeah,
quick,
it was a pretty reasonable
run time.
It was not a long haul.
Yeah.
I'll give you guys that.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Sometimes it's nice just to have a movie, have it go through, not too long. Perfect.
I'll jump into and then Kevin can shit all over this. But yeah, I also liked to what you just said too. It was a small movie. Everything about it was small. The cast was small. The locations were small. It's not like we were going to all these places, So that was great. And I think because of all that, you're really able to just sink in and be invested in what's currently happening. You're not getting distracted with other subplots and whatnot. The dialogue, man, the dialogue, I felt like this was the most realistic, like kids, like the one thing that I have an issue with the radio silence guys that do like the Scream movies and stuff. And I'm like, dude, like fucking these kids don't talk like this. Like this, their like dialogue is all wrong. But I felt like, the party scenes and stuff like that and how they're being like, mean to each other, like the one, like all that. I was like, yeah, I'm feeling this. This is making this all very real. The practical effects were, very well done. Yeah, there was CGI, but they kind of I thought they used CGI in the way that I like to see it, where it just kind of enhances. They didn't rely on CGI, and the images, like, dude, like I have that shot of her with her fucking eyes like burning, her eyes blacked out, like burned in my head. That was, and then obviously with the brother smashing his face, like that's when I was like, fuck, like where, I sat up a little bit stiffer in the theater chair, Like that's when I was like, oh, we're in this. And it felt very familiar, but still new at the same time. Like it had that kind of like same thing that, movies like The Ring have, where there's this impending, thing coming. It follows a little bit. I really like that. And then didn't see the, it's kind of a twist, I guess, how it ended, with her, being on the other side. But yeah, I agree with you, Hunter. I think it's, you know, unless I don't think we have a lot of horror coming out this year. We are going to go see the last of the, or the last voyage of the Demeter tomorrow. Which
that does look awesome. Who doesn't love Sir Davos?
It does look really good.
Yes.
I'm not the biggest period kind of guy with horror, you know, so I'm hoping, you know, that doesn't kind of put me off. But yeah, I don't see any other movie kind of knocking off talk to me.
No, definitely not
the horror movie of the year. But all right, Kevin, let's hear it, pal. Go ahead. Let me go get a drink. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I'll just take this monologue from here on out. And I wish you guys that are listening now could hear how much my head was shaking during all of your guys' comments. So I will start off by reading my Letterboxd review. And we're going to get to our Letterboxd section in a minute. But I just wanted to share this because Hunter thought he was going to be a smartass and reply back to my Letterboxd score with snarky comments. So I said this. I must have missed the part, apparently, where it said Hulu recommends an Amazon original on the poster and opening credits. So with that being said, Dave, I've not been shy when it comes to the Hulu recommends movies that we've seen. They have been ass. Like they have all.
So have you gotten one like okay or good?
No, I've not gotten one yet.
Okay.
So that's what's going on is that all these things that Hulu recommends saying based on the things you watch, you're going to like this one. Yeah, bullshit. So, but here's the thing about like all those Hulu recommends ones. They all, and going back to this movie too, I do want to give it some credit before I completely rip it apart. The concept was there 100%. I loved the idea of the concept of using kind of like the totem, whatever it is, to communicate to the other side. And I love the fact that it is kind of with younger actors and younger talenters. Like that's something that kids would do at a party. And, you know, I get that. And it opened up very, very well because we'd all seen the trailers. We'd all seen like kind of that thing where, you know, the blacked out eyes, that's all in the trailers or like the little footages, whatever you want to call it, like on like feeds, like the promotional pieces. And we know that there was something going on and it started off very, very strong, you know, where the guy's looking for his brother. I guess it's his brother. And they finally break the door down and they're like, what's wrong with this guy? And you're trying to kind of get an idea of what's going on. And then, you know, he snaps, stabs the brother, and then takes a knife straight to his face. And it cuts to like the opening. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm invested.
Here we go.
And
yeah.
Yeah. I really, really was, especially when you told me that this is going to be a good movie. And, you know, you guys are both entitled to your opinion, obviously. And as I'm entitled to.
Oh,
my.
They're wrong, you know, but you're entitled. Correct.
Opinions okay. Can be wrong. That's okay.
Sure, 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 sure. But hear me out. So I also loved that it was, I guess, an Australian movie, right? Because everyone's in Australia, you know, with the Australian accents. That was a terrible Australian accent, by the way. Sorry to any of our Aussie fans out there. But here's where it started to lose me. And Dave, you, as a studier of film and some classics, know the thing about Jaws that made it so scary is not seeing the shark. And I think I really started getting taken out of it when they started showing, honestly, the campy B-horror, bad makeup, monsters, zombies, undead, whatever you want to call this, spirits, rotting flesh. That when it started to take me out a little bit, because I love the concept of let's touch his hand, say the words or whatever, and you could see the terror on their face when they see something. I feel like I didn't need to see it because the more they did that, the more it lost its oomph. I loved when the eyes went black because you kind of like, what is going on? Because that was cool. But when you started seeing like the weird zombies or whatever you want to call those, and then people think it's unsettling.
Toe-sucking zombies.
That's what I was saying is that when you see I thought we were getting ready to have a Hereditary moment, you know, when the mom's in the corner and comes flying. That's what I was thinking. But you see the dude in the corner or thing, not sure what it is, androgynous at that point, kind of work its way over to the bed and then start sucking on the foot or whatever. And like, I didn't think it was scary. It looked almost too campy for me to where like, I know what they're trying to do to make it uneasy. But it almost was like too in your face and not there's something about showing less makes it scarier. And then my final like just miss is that I felt like the ending was a little too confusing of okay, I like the twist. Like I said, spoilers, everybody, where you find out the dad's not really the dad, you know, it's just kind of sitting there trying to talk to it. But was the mom, was it really, and this is a question for you guys, was the mom really there, or was it simply someone pretending to be the mom to lure her to ultimately killing herself type of thing?
I think it was the latter.
I did not think that was her mom.
Yeah, I think it was totally, you know, a trickster spirit.
But if it's not her mom, why is he telling her about the fake dad then? Because we want her to die at that point. So like, why that's what I'm saying. It was a little convoluted. I didn't understand what was going on there. They needed to specify that and add a little more like I felt like, okay, well, you know, if I kill little boy, my little friend or whatever, everything's going to be good. And they needed to expound on that a little bit. And I understand and appreciate the visuals, like Hunter had mentioned, like that quick shot is jarring. And I like the quick shot. But I think to me, it was just like the silly costume makeup that really took me out, honestly. That's the thing that did it. Just too many questions, perfect pacing. I did appreciate it being 90 minutes, but I was still waiting for like the big twist because I don't feel like that ever came, to me at least. And I walked out saying, this is the scariest movie of the year or whatever, because that's the other thing is that what do you guys consider something scary? Because you don't have to have jump scares to be scary.
Yeah, absolutely.
There wasn't really jump scares in this. And I understand the whole horror idea is like that fear of dread, doom, trauma, things like that. That's horror. I get that. But I feel like that they didn't capitalize 100% on this. Go ahead. Rip me apart now.
Yeah, I mean, you're wrong, but
that's fair.
Yeah, I can definitely, you know, see those points. The less is more approach, sure. I mean, who knows what kind of movie that would look like, you know, without that. I mean,
and maybe they tried and that didn't work out, and so they're like, hey, test screenings didn't work out, let's add some monsters in here. So simply,
See, but I don't think they actually had showed that much in the movie, because, you know, when she first grabs the hand in the beginning of the movie, you see that guy, that spirit, for like a half a second. And then she goes back into it. And then there is that, she sees that kind of bigger bloated woman. Sounds like she's drowning again for only a second. And actually, I think that's who the mom was the entire movie, because the mom throughout the movie, when you first see the mom, she's pretty normal looking. And then each time you see her, she gets more and more decomposed. And there's these drowning sounds every time the mom's on, like she's choking or drowning. And that's why I don't think that is her actual mom. I think it was probably that, you know, kind of creepy bloated woman from the beginning of the movie that was just trying to control everything.
Okay. Yeah. See, I was thinking it was just like, it could be literally any spirit at that time when they're like, you know, not the upside down, but like, you know, when they're like flocked in, trying to, you know, use the mom as, you know, essentially just a vessel to trick her. But yeah, I mean, maybe it was just one specific, ghost that was doing that.
And last thing I'll say is that I appreciate, like, I want to say this carefully. I appreciate the trauma that has to deal with a child losing its, you know, parent or something like that. I hope I don't sound weird saying I appreciate child trauma. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Is that I appreciate the... That's a heavy subject matter to try to dive into. And I think they did a good job of that. Like, hey, I'm willing to risk it all to get closure with my mom. I get that. And I think that's a powerful subject. But I don't know if they capitalized on that well by the stuff with the dad. And there doesn't need to be that many questions left for me personally.
Sure. Well, one last thing for me, and then we can kind of do trash it or we did actually today conveniently sequels in the books, so looks like A24 ordered up a follow-up for it, and
talk to me too.
Is it just called A24. Talk to Me Too? Did we get a title?
No, there's a title. It just says talk and then the number two and me and underneath it said sequel. But I'm going to be honest, I'm a little torn by it. Like, I'm super happy that they're doing a sequel because I love the movie. I can't wait to see more. But also, I would have been okay if they just kept the one movie. You know what I mean? Like, not every movie needs a sequel, but I am excited for more. But I think it would have been just as good if they didn't have a sequel.
Well, do you think we're going to get a prequel? Or, you know, the origin of of the hand, you know, maybe who had it, you know, beforehand, or pun intended there.
I swear, I just read something that...
A talk to me story.
That they had filmed like a short prequel that was done with just like cell phones and social media.
That would be cool.
I don't know how true that is or not, but that's, I just read something quick about that.
Nice. So, I mean,
I don't know. That'd be an interesting movie. Just cell phone videos or like videos.
Because I was liking that they had said that it was an actual embalmed hand in the casing. I was hoping that the casing was going to break and you'd see the hand or something. I thought they were kind of leading towards that.
I was hoping for something like that as well. And I'm desperately combing through, you know, Michael's and mannequin.
I was gonna say there's gonna stores. Be hand mannequins yeah. everywhere now.
Well, A24, I mean they put some unique stuff on their site. Like they had that their hereditary like cookie house, like gingerbread tree house.
Mm-hmm. I might get that for Amy as a secret gift.
There you go. Yeah, it's probably just on eBay though. So you gotta pay those A24 scalper fees, buddy. Ouch. But I mean, what my final thought on it, the one thing that I really, you know, loved overall about the film was just, again, the impending, like there is a time, you know, stamp on it as far as, you know, if the brother was going to die, you know, they had him for forever, you know, if they're in him. And so there is some the time to it, and
impending
I love
doom.
Movies to do that. Yeah, exactly. And so I was all in on it, man. Loved it. Rating for me, I think on Letterboxd I gave it a solid 4.
Yep, same. Gave it a solid 4.
Definitely my favorite movie of the year. I might have something else, but yeah, I loved it, man.
And I'll end by saying I gave it a two out of five. And just because I'm not a total asshole, I'll say I love that we went with an original story as opposed in the world of sequels and remakes and resurrecting franchises just to make a buck. I appreciate a good story, at least taking a swing. It may not have hit for me, but you took a risk. So props to that.
Yeah, well, and I appreciate the movie just because I used to watch these, you know, these two kids. They made videos on YouTube 10, so 15 cool. years ago. I don't remember when it was. And now it's just they got to make a movie. And I think that's so cool. And I appreciate that. I think that's also why I like the movie so much, is just knowing who these brothers are.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I wouldn't see why they wouldn't do it. But hopefully the brothers are, you know, going to be helming the sequel. So I believe they are. They were the ones that like posted it, right? On their socials, so I'm assuming they are.
I saw it ever. I saw an A24. I don't know.
Oh, well, yeah. I'd be shocked if anyone else was doing it. Okay. Well, yeah. That's our little quick review of Talk to Me. Let's dive into this topic here, Kevin. So do you want to preface the rewatchability stuff?
Yeah. So this. If, for those that don't know, as of right now, August the 8th, 2023, when this podcast is being recorded, there is quite a big strike going on in La La Land and Hollywood and all that. So there's a lot of delays, a lot of pushback productions, cancellations of productions. There's writer strike. There's all kinds of actor strike. There's everything under the sun. Nothing is being made. So that's going to push stuff back to where there may not be a lot of movies and content in the future, in the maybe near future, once all these things run its course and, you know, there's nothing in production. So I started thinking, what would you say is the most rewatchable movie or rewatchable show for you? Because inevitably, when there's nothing left new to watch, you're going to have to go back to the archives. So I'd like to open that up to you guys. What is something that is rewatchable for you, whether it be a TV show or movie? And you can do with the low-hanging fruit, obviously. Ooh, but I will just start this off, is that for me, I love my movies, but when it comes to like rewatching the movies, I feel like I have to go with like a TV show to continually rewatch, just because there's more of them and you can take them in like bite-sized pieces a little bit. So I'm always going to be like, hey, if you have to rewatch something, do you want to watch a show or a movie? And call me a basic bitch, but I think that Netflix was created simply for the rewatching of The Office originally. You know, there's just something about everyone watched The Office and rewatched The Office. I saw an interview with Billie Eilish and Dwight Schrute, aka, I guess, Rainn Wilson, aka Dwight
Schrute.
And she was going through Office trivia. And I'm going to be honest, I've watched The Office probably 30 times from episode one to close, probably 30 times. And she was answering questions that I didn't even know. So I want to know, how many times did she watch these fucking shows? Or maybe she's just a lot smarter and more attentive. But The Office for me was like the most rewatchable show ever, because I think we all agree you probably couldn't remake The Office today with some of those jokes.
Never.
I mean, just going all the way back to season one with the diversity day was one of those cringe moments and TV shows ever. It is wild. So
and
the fact that we
could be the belle of the ball.
Don't drop the soap.
Don't drop the soap.
But I just love that we have the quotes. You just got the moments and you can pick up any episode almost and rewatch it.
I'm going to say, I'm going to brag her a little bit, that the interview with her and the little quiz, I answered those questions faster than she did. So, just going to throw that out there.
Hunter the Cat,
I knew the answers quick.
Take that, Billy.
Right? I mean, to be, I watch that show way too much. It's just like my background show, like before bed. So I'm not
going to. That's it. It's background. Because we already know like all the lines to every episode almost. So you don't feel like you're going to miss anything if you're, you know, doing the dishes or whatever,
it's just
subconsciously
being zoomed into our head.
But the one show
I've been rewatching recently that I've loved is, because there's so many seasons, 26 seasons, South Park.
Yes,
that's been my recent just rewatch. I mean, I've seen all the seasons multiple times, but that's a show again you can just throw in the background, just
right, never gets
chaos,
old.
Just never gets old. That's been my rewatch recently. It's just old South Park, started from season one, episode one, I think I'm on like probably season 11 or, season 11 or 12 now. So I'm just keeping it going.
So let me ask you this, Hunter, our guest. What is your favorite South Park episode? Do you have one? Like if you hey, because I'll give you mine. Go ahead.
Yeah, Medicinal Fried Chicken.
Okay, that's a classic.
Where they
the Scarface
the
parody?
Food. Yeah, they close the fast food shops and turn them into medical marijuana dispensaries. But then also Randy's trying to get cancer and he gets like the giant ball sack and all the guys in town also get the giant ball sacks and like they're hopping around town with that music playing. I love it. That is so funny to me.
To me, the two most rewatchable South Park episodes ever is Night of the Living Blockbuster, where it's the parody of The Shining with Randy. I love that. He's like, Stan, steady boy.
I've never seen that one.
Dave, I've told you this.
Dude, you would love that episode.
It's one of the funniest episodes ever. All right, go ahead and watch A Nightmare on FaceTime, I think is what it's called. Okay. Randy buys a Blockbuster.
Yeah,
it's
hilarious. That sounds right up my alley.
It's so classic. They're like, they have Civil War ghosts in there. He's like, I get it. Blockbuster's so old, you got ghosts in it now. Ha, ha, ha. It's classic. But then my other one, because I think I love the music, is... I have two more. Is the when they go buy the samurai weapons at the fair and they do like the anime episode?
Yes.
It's like less fighting love.
And less fighting love.
He's like, hey,
protect my balls.
It's like that's a classic, and I do love the World of Warcraft episode. Those are my top three.
Yeah, the was it Make Love Not Warcraft?
Yeah, Make Love Not Warcraft. Yep.
Yeah, fantastic episode. So good, and that created that meme of the guy at the desk.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the typical guy playing with the Sword of Truth.
Yeah.
Oh man,
Dave, I'm just so disappointed in you for not only liking A24 and not being a Blumhouse bitch like me, but not seeing that episode. So,
yeah, I need to get on it. That definitely sounds right.
It's
in my
spooky
wheelhouse.
Season, so you can't start spooky season with all your movies until you watch that episode.
Okay, game on. I got to go basic bitch here with TV shows. Yeah. The Office, Home Improvement is definitely get some love and some runtime in the Shaw House. But my VHS kind of the way I have my VHS set up, I have like 10 shelves and I have reservations for the top shelf. And the top shelf is reserved for movies that, you know, I can just grab something off the top shelf and throw it in. So there's like 10 movies in there that I'm comfortable with watching anytime, you know, any day, you know, just rewatchability favorites. And you got the Jaws, just Jaws 1. I can't rewatch 2, 3 and 4 that often, but I can rewatch Jaws a lot. The indies, the Back to the Futures. I mean, just the typical movies that, you know, everybody loves. And those are just my comfort movies. And Hunter's going to want to talk about this, but another movie that I think I've already seen it 6 times this year. Christine, man, I cannot get enough.
Nice.
Of that movie. I mean, it still isn't going to beat out Halloween for my favorite John Carpenter movie, but it's number 2.
Did you ever end up getting that Laserdisc version, or what was that we saw at ICCC?
The CED.
Yeah. Did you ever end up getting that?
No. I did not.
Attaboy, but probably.
Yeah. All I got for Christine, I have a steelbook, a couple VHS tapes, nothing too crazy there. I'd love to get a one sheet of the classic poster someday. That's probably on my list for, like, if I was to have any one sheet, you know, poster, that it'd probably be Christine. I'd love to get that one. But yeah, man, that's those are, you know, nothing too crazy. Trying to think. I like watching a lot of like old hockey fights too. That's, you know, obviously not, you know, movie or show, but like that's something that I'll just throw on. It's old hockey tilts. Just love it.
What is that website where you can just go and type in any fight and it's on there?
Hockey fights?
Is that,
is that like, yeah. It is hockey fights. Are you talking about like all fights, like street fights, MMA? Like,
no, it's got every fight, like hockey fight or whatever. It's like, you, if you type in Brian McGrattan, it brings up all Brian McGrattan's. Like,
has like fights. the you know, the tilt, like their height, their weight.
Yeah.
I think it's just hockey fights. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, and I think Office all around for all three of us, right? I mean, that's
basic bitch answer, man. But it's too classic.
It's too good,
I had to bring in South Park too, just because, you know, it obviously it's The Office, but
you know what show? Okay, here's a question for you guys: what show do you predict, or movie predict yourself, you know, rewatching a lot? For me, I could see when What We Do in the Shadows is like wrapped up, maybe another season, 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. I hope they just keep going, but like that's a show that I could see having that Office, you know, kind of rewatchability.
Yeah, I've already rewatched it a couple times.
It's so good. Yeah, it's fucking, I love all the characters in it. They're, dude, energy vampire, oh my god. Yeah, speaking of your spooky memes, the one I saw it was Colin, and it was like, I hope this email finds you well today, and he's doing his, like, you know, wide eye thing. Oh, shit kills me, man. Well, should we wrap it up with this collider list? What do you guys think?
Yeah, let's keep it spooky, man.
Okay, so we're gonna agree, inviscerate, talk shit on. We're gonna do all of the above on a list that Collider did. 10 great horror franchises with 6 or more entries ranked. Okay, number 10, bottom of the barrel. Any guesses?
So let me get the, because I have to make sure I understand it right. So they're saying these are the top 10 movies,
top 10 that, franchises that, okay, have at least, that have at 6 least entries, 6,
and yeah, there's got to be 10 of them.
Yeah.
Without knowing what number one is, that's going to be tough, because don't want to shoot too low on some of these. But
10, they got Friday the 13th at 10. I think that
really, that's what I was getting ready to ask. I was honestly going to say something crazy like that. Okay.
I'm kind of frightened to see, and I haven't looked at
There's no way that there's nine better franchises.
That's what I'm saying, right? Yeah. Like, I feel like that is just off the
bat. You haven't looked at the nine?
I haven't looked at it.
Oh, shit. Okay, this will be fun.
So off the bat, I'm like thinking that's incredibly low.
That seems way too low.
Do we want to throw out what we think our number one is before we get going? Like, okay, who we all think number one is?
All right. Okay, and they have this ranked. So, I mean, sure. Besides like getting too detailed and thinking about like, oh, well, is that on, you know, how much money they made or
right.
I do not think Nightmare on Elm Street is going to be one. But I think Halloween could be one. That's what I'm hanging my hat on, the Halloween franchise.
I'm going to go off the board because when was this article published? Was it recent?
Today.
Okay.
Four days ago. So okay. I think August, early August.
I think this is a clickbaity type thing to where they are promoting the Saw franchise because the new one's coming out. I think they're gonna make number one the Saw franchise.
Okay, and I will say on the thumbnail there's a picture of Godzilla. So, and I don't consider Godzilla a horror, but here we are.
Oh, okay.
Way to go, Collider. Okay, so what are you thinking, Hunter? You got a pick for your number one?
So apparently it's not just horror. Might as well just throw action in there too.
Yeah, right. See, I'm having trouble trying Beverly to think Hills of Cop. This many horror franchises that have more than six movies. I'm you know, the Scream has six. That's definitely going to be in the top 10.
It's got to be. I mean, yeah, you're gonna have the Texas Chainsaw. You're gonna have fucking Leprechaun. Maybe, I don't know. Like, let's get weird here. Okay,
but if Godzilla's in there, that's crazy. You're gonna tell me Godzilla is more high on the list than
Jason? Yeah,
than Jason. Okay,
Friday the 13th. Yeah. All right. Well, Kevin, you fucked up. Saw number nine.
Okay. Oh, well, perfect. I'm off the board. I'm out.
I mean,
that's a good spot for Saw though. Nine.
James Wan is he did Saw, right? That's his baby, right? Or the first one at least, right? The first one's incredible. Like, you want to talk about like the movie that, you know, really was like everyone talking about at the water cooler kind of thing, like, you know, and that also came out when, you know, social media wasn't too insane, you know,
2004.
Yeah, like that movie was awesome, but yeah,
it was so unique at the time when it came out. The twist, you know, it was nothing was out like that.
Do you want to play a game?
All right, so I'm out too. Number eight, Halloween.
This list is about to be bullshit.
Oh boy,
I'm worried.
All right,
so Freaky Friday going to be on here? Or something ridiculous.
Do we think that Halloween at eight is the fault of Rob Zombie or David Gordon Green?
That's a good point because it's sullied at this
Who's
point.
Bringing that down? Or, I mean, John Carpenter. I mean, he didn't do all that, you know, early Halloweens, but.
How many Halloweens are there now? Like 11? Because there's five just with David Gordon Green and Rob Zombie already.
Yeah, and then the original Halloween run is four,
through
five,
six plus H2O.
Six, seven, eight. There's eight. Resurrection
okay,
is eight,
so there's
I believe.
13, essentially.
Damn, that's a good chunk. And there's no news of anything else. I think hopefully David Gordon Green is going to just play in a Exorcist land for
He's getting
a while.
Ready to destroy that franchise too, so that's great.
Okay, all right, this is where it's going to get weird. Number seven, The Invisible Man.
What?
Okay.
There's that many of them?
1933 to 1951. Okay, so they have, I don't say how many. I've only seen the original Invisible Man. I know there's a lot of, you know, he might pop around in, you know, a Frankenstein movie or whatnot, but I've only seen, it had exactly six entries. Okay. Did you guys see the original?
I did not.
No.
The first one was in 1952, and the last was in 2020. So they've had a decent run.
They cap it with 1951, so they're not including the reboot, which I really loved. I think that came out in 2000. I really dug that one. The chick gets stabbed in the restaurant. Oh, love it. Number six, Nightmare on Elm Street. Holy shit, the big dogs are off the board.
Yeah.
Wow. Not even in the top five.
That's shameful. I want to know what college intern put this together.
Oh,
I'm pretty
man.
Sure a chatbot actually wrote this.
What's your favorite Nightmare on Elm Street entry, Kevin?
I think you got to go with the original. I mean,
yeah,
that kind of started it, and then that was just downright terrifying, and then it got kind of hokey, let's be honest, you know, with as it went on.
I rewatched New Nightmare, and I fuck with that movie. That it kind of makes sense too, because right after that, like with the whole meta, you know, how it's, you know, Robert Englund is playing Robert Englund, and you know what I mean, there's all that. And then I think 2 years later he did Scream, and so I was like, I loved how that film is kind of, you know, where it is in history, because I think it really, you know, transcended the genre a little bit. So that's probably up there. I mean, Dream Warriors is classic. The first one's great. Hunter, you got a favorite Nightmare movie?
I gotta go with the first one as well.
Yeah. Classic. Seeing Johnny Depp just get murdered.
Right, and that, that's what I was gonna say. I feel like the star power of Depp is what really pulls that through.
Number five, Scream.
Okay. That's a kind of mid of the road. Right. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Barely, that sounds barely in the top five. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the whole, you know, this new kind of sequel trilogy, whatever you want to call it, of legacy sequels or whatever of Scream. I mean, it's a different beast, say what you will about it, but one and two are one's amazing. That's probably in my top three favorite horror movies. You know, Lindsay loves that Scream. We see every Scream movie that comes out. And I have a soft spot for Scream 3. I mean, again, with the whole meta stuff, like, you know, a movie within a movie, and you got fucking Carrie Fisher in it. Like,
right. That's good.
I mean, come on, man, dude. Like, that's Wes. But you get, I mean, besides, I'm assuming you guys are all number ones. Amazing, right? Like, what, any other movies in that franchise?
Yeah, because
that you are
it naturally that kind of started the scary movie franchise. You know, without Scream, you wouldn't.
I know
have
what
had
you
the
did last
franchise.
Summer. Yeah, all, you exactly. know, Urban Legend, all that kind of almost like new metal horror, if you will. You know, they started having the cool soundtracks with the movies and whatnot. Is there besides one? Is there any Scream movie that jumps out to you guys that you?
I would agree champion? With three. Isn't three one of the lower rated Scream movies?
Three is pretty. There's haters, and then there's people.
Yeah.
That like it for the reasons that I just said. You know. But yeah, it's. I think
41 on Rotten Tomatoes, which
yeah, exactly. I don't think That's it was bad. Received that well. Yeah.
I remember liking Scream 4. Is 5 the one? 5 is the newer one, right? Where it's like mostly like kids. Yeah, that one's not. That was okay.
Four is my least favorite. It being the killer being her niece, and then the other.
Oh yeah,
from school
four,
or whatever.
Four
yeah,
is what I was thinking of. Yeah, 4 is not my favorite. I think 3 is really good.
Yeah. All right, number four, Frankenstein. Okay, so there, I think we got a purist on our hands here, Kevin. We you know, I mean, the Frankenstein movies, I mean, yeah, they...
Yeah, I mean, original Universal monster,
gotta,
that's fine.
You got to give the respect, I mean...
Sure, I mean, you wouldn't have Eddie Munster, you wouldn't have any of that stuff.
Okay.
Herman Munster, here I am, what am I talking about? Herman Munster.
All right. Well, this, I think we're getting back on track. Number three. Okay. Do we have any guesses? I'm looking at, oh my God.
Is it a classic monster movie?
So number three, what of our guesses?
One of our guesses. Okay. So I said,
one of the, we know one of them's Godzilla. One of them's Godzilla.
What decade?
What did Hunter say originally?
I mean, my original guess was like,
Texas Chainsaw. Texas Chainsaw.
No, no, not even on the top 10. No, it's not really? Even on the list. I mean, that's fine.
I guess they knew better.
Yeah. I mean, I would have rather have seen Leprechaun on the list. I mean, come on, let's go. The Living Dead series. So, oh,
okay. That's fair.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's fair.
Yeah. And they include it to 2009. So they have the Zack Snyder, right? He did the 2009 one, right? Yeah. Yeah, that. Oh, no. Okay. So it's Dawn of the Dead, 78, Day of the Dead, 85, Land of the Dead, 05, Diary of the Dead, 07, Survival of the Dead, 09. So they do not have the Zack Snyder. That remake, fire. I love that.
Dawn of the Dead. Yeah. Yeah, it's a great movie. I think that's on Netflix right now. I just rewatched that not too long ago.
Yeah, that's Ving Rhames, man. That was like one of the first movies that I really remember seeing with him in it. And yeah, that's probably one of my favorite remakes. This makes sense. I like that ranking there. Okay, number two is not Godzilla. So Godzilla is number one. Godzilla is the fucking scariest horror franchise movie ever. Oh my god,
that's wild to me.
What a fucking garbage list. Okay, so that's out of the way.
You picked this, Dave.
number two, final guesses.
Ooh, Final Destination.
No.
Okay.
Hunter, you recently saw it. We were talking about it. She plays she has a basketball in the fourth one.
Oh, yeah, Alien. Okay, are there six Aliens? Yeah, I guess there are, huh? Yeah, there are six. All right, I'm cool with Alien being number two. Yeah, he's got Resurrections 4.
They're including Alien versus Predator. Yeah.
Okay. Are they Alien including Predator, Prometheus and all that?
They are.
We got Covenant as well. Covenant's also an Alien movie. So I think there's just six Alien alone. And then you got Alien versus Predator and Prometheus.
For me, it's just Alien and Aliens. Those are the only two I kind of think are good.
Rock and roll. I mean, Aliens 2 is amazing. Alien is amazing. Prometheus. Hunter, we fucking saw Prometheus.
Do you remember seeing that?
Yeah,
that
was
IMAX.
Yeah, bro, I do. Yeah, fuck. I can't. I like him just remembering this now. I was like, when did I see that? I was like, oh shit. Yeah, we saw it in IMAX. Yeah, dude. What a movie to see in IMAX, by the way.
Right?
Just the cinematography. Like, yeah. Yeah, I definitely love the Alien franchise. Don't really consider it a horror, though. That's more sci-fi, in my
book. I mean, the first two, I would say, are definitely horror.
First one's horror. One's definitely horror. Two is definitely sci-fi action.
Yeah, that's...
But I can tell you Godzilla is not either of those.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, fuck this list all the hell. Okay, so that's our take on a Collider's, 10 horror franchises.
Quote,
with six. Let me just read some of the blurbs here for the Godzilla one. Okay, there's got to be, over 40 movies. I mean, yeah.
As we know, quantity does not mean quality, everybody.
Yeah.
Don't you remember the Son of Godzilla or whatever that thing was where that little Godzilla's running around? He looks like the dude from Dinosaurs.
The baby.
Looks just like that. Yeah.
The mama.
Wow. Thanks, Collider.
Yeah. Thanks, Collider. Thanks for the content. We'll wrap it up with box score and we'll get out of everyone's
movie heavy. Movie heavy today, but it's been
movie
good.
Heavy. I mean, spooky season heavy. We're so pumped. Almost 100 episodes later, we're still talking bullshit. And thank you to everyone that is, listening in your car or whatever. I mean, you're working out. You got, Kevin talking about how much he loves Talk to Me. I mean, we appreciate you. So we appreciate those 5 stars too. I mean, it goes a long way, helps out with getting our, exposure out there. So box score, we'll wrap this up. Kevin, I mean, anything else besides Talk to Me that you've seen that you want to throw a wreck out or talk about real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to make sure to give a stinker and a recommend, obviously, for this.
I love it when we can do that.
Yeah, maybe that means we watch too much stuff, but we're providing good content out there for people. And let me just say this. If I like something, that maybe means that Dave doesn't like it. And if Dave likes it, maybe I don't like it. And if Hunter likes it, I know I don't like it. So there's that. So if you do follow us on Letterboxd, make sure to check out what we say and feel free to comment on that as well. So let's start with the stinker. Okay. So once again, Hulu recommends. Who fucking saw this coming? So this one I thought had a lot of potential. Baby Ruby. Have you heard about this?
No. Okay. Who's in it?
Kit Harington, Jon Snow.
Ooh, right? Jon Snow.
Yeah. And so I was like, Jon Snow, this can't be bad. Yeah. So I was like, he knows nothing, but maybe he can actually put this show together. So it's Baby Ruby, and he's the husband, and he's got an American accent. So that's really odd to me. Like, his wife is foreign. I was like, why didn't they reverse roles here? Whatever. That's fine. So hearing him talk in like a Detroit accent was weird to me, but that's beside the point. So this woman has this baby, I suppose, is getting ready to have this baby. And she keeps having these weird visions of something going wrong. You know, that type of trope. And 1 out of 5 for this one. This is what I said. I still don't know what actually happened. Jon Snow is an American accent. That's the highlight for me. And without getting into too many of the twists and turns, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, that was like so odd and bizarre. Baby Ruby, 1 out of 5. Do not recommend. Hulu, stop fucking with me. This is not fun anymore. But I took a chance on that one. But then I had to go by word of mouth to get this absolute gem of a movie. Did not see this coming out anywhere. Had no idea it existed until a salon friend stopped into Amy's work and said, have you seen, and I always love how those go, have you seen Paradise? Dave, have you heard about this?
No.
Okay. I've told you I love my foreign films that are dubbed, you know, especially, you know, kind of like The Parasite, you know, things like that. Yep. All those Korean horror films. Well, this is like a sci-fi thriller in Germany. Okay. And so this is like almost 4.25 out of 5 stars is what I was going to give this one. And this is what I said on Letterboxd. Whoa, this movie came out of nowhere. It's German and thankfully dubbed, but it was incredible. Such a cool concept of what is more valuable, time or money. Fantastic pacing, solid acting, and crazy twists. And talking about sequels, there better be a sequel to this one. Like, I was like, almost like, I can't wait to see what happens next type of moment. And when you do that with a movie, I think he hit it out of the park. But the whole concept of this is that there is a technology to where you can sell time or whatever. Like, if you need to mortgage your house or whatever, you're like, okay, I'm going to give 10 years to the bank or whatever. And these people take it and you can de-age people. So you de-age or age. And that's what the concept of this whole thing is built on.
Very cool. Fantastic. Very cool.
What fantastic. Year is that from?
2023.
Because there's the exact same movie with Justin Timberlake. Do you remember that movie?
Is that the same concept?
Yeah, it's the exact same idea. It's like basically, you know, the ultra rich can live for thousands or however many years because they've got time on their like wrist.
I'm looking
it
up right now.
You can pay for things with time.
Yeah.
Is it?
That's you know, 10 years old or so, right?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Who created that one? I'm looking for. It's not Paradise. I know what you're talking about, JT with the time thing or whatever. I do remember that. But this is, I remember seeing that, but this is a little bit different though. But I highly
sounds
recommend.
Sounds cool, and it's called Paradise.
It's all called Paradise. It's in it's a German film, but it's dubbed and it's on Netflix. Check
very
that
cool.
out.
Okay,
great callback to the JT movie. While Dave gives his, I'm going to look that one up real quick.
Called like Time something, right? Time something. I don't know.
Time Cop with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Maybe.
It was called In Time, 2011.
Ooh, yeah.
With Amanda Seyfried and Cillian Murphy and Justin Timberlake.
Well, JT, man. Okay, well, I'll be quick here. So I did something that I haven't done in a while. So I, you know, we're in box score. We are proponents and, you know, advocates of Letterboxd. Love it. I really like the watch list function. And because of that, I fucking never have to, like, you know,
what am I going to watch tonight?
Yeah. I don't have to get bit by the, you know, the Hulu recommends,
maybe I need to do more of that.
And, I just, you know, when I'm feeling froggy, I'll just hit shuffle and, you know, it'll pop up, five, you know, movies and I'll just pick one out of the top.
Is that a pro feature though? Could I do that?
That's a good question. I am pro. No big deal.
Nice. Elitist.
But I'm pretty sure that's also just on, you know, the
I'll check that out. Good idea.
The peasant
peasant plan.
But Yeah. So I just, on a whim, I'm like, I'm just going to go on Netflix. Let's see what Netflix has to offer. And I see a movie, you know, just coming out. I see a familiar face. I'm like, oh shit. I'm a fan of this dude. Okay. So let's give it a go. And that is River Wild with, not Adrian Brody, Seth Brody from the OC. And it's basically, I was having a hard time figuring out if it was like a reboot off of the movie. Geez, what one was this? I think it's The River Wild with Kevin Bacon and Meryl Streep around 94. And have you guys seen that one?
Exactly 1994. A pair of armed killers navigating a violent river.
Okay. So,
but yes, I have seen that. That's actually really good.
So this one's just called River Wild, and it's, you know, also on the river. And so it's very different to like what's going on, but it's kind of the same movie, if you will. I mean, it made me want to rewatch the original, but I feel like I don't want to spoil it too much, but it takes about 20 minutes before you even have an inkling of what's kind of going to happen or what's going wrong. And it had me guessing. I gave it a 3.5. Definitely nice. Liked it. Yeah, it was a good time. So if you're looking for something, just you know, it's not going to blow you away, but you know, and I also like outdoor, you know, kind of camping type movies. So had some really good, you know, had like a 90s soundtrack, some good songs, some overhead shots of just like, you know, gorgeous valleys and stuff like that. So
drone shit.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're a fan of, you know, kind of outdoor stuff with a little suspense, check that out. River Wild. Yeah, so that was mine. And Hunter, I know you saw some bangers.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot recently. I'm gonna get this one out of the way. My one star. I don't really do a lot of one stars. We just spoke about the number two horror franchise. So I gave Alien Resurrection a one star. I cannot stand that movie. That's fair. So bad. Yeah, it's so bad. Like I thought three was bad, but there's like
a doesn't need to happen movie, you know.
Yeah, three. I mean, it had some decent characters. You know, the alien looked awful. The effects were awful. But four, I struggled to get through four.
Mama.
Just completely unlikable characters. The basketball scene.
Oh man, she's this.
What's
like,
his name?
She
Ron.
It.
Ron Perl. What's his name? Perlman.
Oh yeah, Hellboy.
Hellboy.
It's fucking Sam Crow, baby.
Yeah.
Optimus Primal as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Did he do the? Oh no! He didn't.
Peter
do the
Cullen
voice for
did
Optimus.
Peter no, Cullen no, no, no. did Optimus Prime. Ron Perlman did Optimus Primal, the gorilla.
Okay, that's right. Okay, the gorilla.
Know your Transformers, Dave.
God, fuck. Well, I mean, I was sleeping, so that movie was just that.
Right,
bad,
we talked about that too.
And then, so let's see. So a movie that's been on my watch list for a really long time was the 2018 Suspiria. Finally, got to watch that. Never seen the original from, I think it's like the late 50s. This is a remake. Has who's in it? Dakota Johnson, Mia Goth, Tilda Swinton.
Mia Goth, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Mia Goth.
That was like her first move, her first kind of
Chloe Grace. You
know, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
she has
Chloe
a
Grace.
Part
wow.
Beginning, yeah. So it's this dance studio in Berlin. It's like this famous dance studio. But it turns out it's run by witches. So Dakota Johnson, you know, her character, she's like this up and coming incredible dancer. And, you know, throughout the movie, the witch is like saying like, hey, I think, you know, she's going to be the next one, but you're, you know, in your head, like, what does that mean? What is she going to be the next of? And then she ends up becoming like this all powerful demon at the end. And sorry, spoilers, but, absolutely love that movie. Blown away by it.
Nice.
That was really, really good. Highly recommend
that. Where can that be streamed at?
Suspiria is on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime, perfect.
Yeah, it's a little long. It's about 2.5 hours, but highly recommend it.
I haven't seen the remake, but I've heard a lot of people say that they, you know, thought that the remake did the original justice, because the original is, you know, very loved and, you know, very different. I think of as, you know, in the 70s ish, but just the imagery and, you know, kind of all the dream stuff and whatnot. And this remake kind of nailed it. So yeah, man.
Yeah, remake nailed it.
I need to check that out. Yeah. Well, nice, man. And you know, on the next episode, old Hunter and I, the cat gang, will have seen the last voyage of the Demeter. And are you and Amy have any plans to see that one, Kevin?
We do, yes, because I think everyone already knows this is a Dracula type movie at sea. So
yeah,
looking forward to that.
It's gonna be fire.
Yeah, very excited. Anything Dracula, anything vampire, I'm there.
Yeah, and a quick shout out to Terra Trader on that one. They were very generous of getting us some early screening tickets, and they also have an epic horror convention called The Gathering of the Ghouls, August 26th through 27th. It's 2 days. It's at the Mesa Convention Center. This is going to be, I think, something that's going to, you know, stay. I mean, everything that Terror Trader is doing is just like leveling up. These guys do not like to not stay busy, and they're crushing it. They have a very impressive guest list. Whole trauma team is going to be there. You get to screen the Toxic Avenger with Larry, Lloyd. And then the second screening is Puppet Master with Charles Band, the owner of Full Moon. And it's going to be a good time. So if you're in the valley and in a horror, check that out. Gathering of the Ghouls. But I think that's episode 93. Hunter, man, dude, this is awesome. Thank you for jumping on.
Classic, yeah, thank you so much for having me. This is a lot of fun.
I
really great,
you know,
time.
Had to have some reinforcements, you know, especially with the talk to me part, because I knew Kevin was just gonna be a dickhead and just shit that, over
that's
this
my shtick, man.
Amazing
that's my
movie. All right, well,
yeah,
that, well, that'll
hope
do
to be
it.
Back.
Yeah, man, absolutely love to have you back. Yeah, and that'll do it, man. From the typical nerd talk, we's out. Episode 93. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to give us some 5 stars. Tell us what you think of the show, and love all of you. And we'll see you episode 94. Adios.
See ya.